Hey, I'm Matt Rothschild, and welcome to this episode of the Wisconsin Forward Podcast on the Civic Media Radio Network and at civicmedia.us. Today, we're going to be talking about the ability of us as Wisconsin citizens to record what's going on in our very own state capitol. With me to discuss this issue is Bill Leaders, the longtime president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council and the editor-at-large at the Progressive Magazine, where I used to work. Hey, Bill, great to see you again.
Good to see you, Matt.
Great to have you on the Wisconsin Forward Podcast. For those who don't know us, I've known Bill Leaders for more than 40 years now. We've worked together on and off in one capacity or another. It's always great to see you. I wanted to Likewise. Talk with you about the demise of Wisconsin Eye and the ridiculous ban on citizens recording in the state capitol. Why don't we start with what happened with Wisconsin Eye?
Well, I'm not sure I'd say yet that we're talking about a demise, but it certainly did go on hiatus. On December 15th, as announced shortly before then, Wisconsin Eye stopped performing its essential function of covering legislative hearings and meetings and other state government-related meetings, and went dark. Also shut down its archive of past meetings so that if you wanted to check something that was said at a assembly hearing, you know, 3 months ago, you could no longer do so. It was just not accessible anymore, which is a huge blow for transparency in Wisconsin. And, you know, I'm deeply concerned about that from my perspective as president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council, that this easy, effective way of helping citizens take part in their government by being able to access the workings of government and to hear what is said and see what is said at these meetings has been taken away.
What was the excuse for getting rid of the archive or going dark?
I mean, I don't know exactly. I guess there are some ancillary costs that are incurred by keeping that going that are avoided if it's shut. But I don't have a clear beat on that.
The cost can't be great, though, just keeping the website open.
I wouldn't think so. The larger problem, though, is just that the Wisconsin Eye, which has been operating now for 18 years, it started in 2007, feels as though its old method for functioning, its own old fundraising mechanism, is no longer working. It was donations from foundations and individuals, and that kept it going. Its budget is around $900,000 a year, I guess, and it just was not meeting that. And so it said, we can't keep doing this. We're going to have to shut. And I think, honestly, that they thought that there would be a rallying and people go, no, 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 don't do that. Here's the money, which has not yet happened.
Well, as someone who did a lot of fundraising back in the day, that can be a horrifying prospect when you're close to having to shut down. You give a all points alert and the money doesn't flow in. So I have some sympathy for that. But they were getting big corporate donations and I think ABC Supply, Diane Hendricks' company.
Diane Hendricks was a big contributor,
was supporting them somehow. She just gave a ton of money to the Assembly Elections Committee that Robin Voss heads up. But yeah, I would think the legislature itself would want to keep it going. And there was, tell me about this. I read, you know, there was $10 million in some budget or some official donation ready for it. I guess it was for the endowment and not for operating costs, and they had to get matching funds, but that's a lot of money.
That's right. There's a $10 million endowment that was created by the legislature for Wisconsin Eye, and that money is available to be used for its operations. But as it's constituted, they can only use it as matching funds. They only get $50 from the endowment fund if somebody gives $50, and that was no longer bringing in enough revenue. So John Henkes, who is the co-founder and the president and CEO of Wisconsin Eye, has proposed, why don't you just change the rules and let us deep into this fund in our time of need, do away with the matching fund requirement, and we'll be good, which would be an easy fix, but it seems not to have been readily implemented. And here we are more than a month after Wisconsin Eye was shuttered, and it's still in the dark.
Because $10 million would allow Wisconsin Eye to run for 10 years if their budget's $900,000 a year.
Sure. And they were talking also about increasing the size of the endowment to $20 million. I'm not sure how. But, you know, Wisconsin is looking at having a $2.5 $1 billion surplus after this next biennial. So there's no question that the money is there. And I'm really kind of baffled that the will isn't there, because Wisconsin had been a tool that citizens used to access their government. It was a tool that legislators themselves used. I mean, I was testifying at a committee hearing a couple of weeks ago, and there was one member of the committee who had to get up in the middle of the meeting and go run to another meeting of interest that, you know, he couldn't be at both at one time. But you know what? When Wisconsin I was a business, you can be at both at one time. You can be at one while it's happening and watch the other right afterwards. You know, it'll all be archived and available.
And we've both been reporters, and we both would use Wisconsin I to cover something that we couldn't attend in person at the same time. We'd go there in the, you know, later in the day and look up the hearing.
Yeah. And also, honestly, the quality of reproduction that you get from Wisconsin I filming it and being attached to all the microphones is much better than you get with that tape recorder on your knee.
And there's been an effort by some legislators, especially Democratic legislators, to get a fix through here, or for the legislature itself to actually run a public news service out of the Capitol, recording and producing everything that's done in the Capitol that's done in public anyway. But none of that has come to fruition, right?
Yeah. The legislature, the Democrats in the legislature, have advanced a proposal that basically that the state take over the functions of Wisconsin I. And that doesn't seem to have gone anywhere. And it is something that John Henkes, the CEO and president, has said is not a good solution. For one thing, it would put Wisconsin I out of business. But the legislature would not be able to do as many meetings as this legislation talked about it doing. It just wouldn't be able to do that on around $1 million a year. I guess my question is, what exactly was wrong with Wisconsin I that the solution to it going dark wouldn't be to turn the lights back on? What more needed to be fixed? And I haven't heard any good explanation of that.
Well, what is your guess? I mean, why? Let's put it this way. Why does Robin Voss, who basically runs the show over there, not want Wisconsin I to function?
Well, I mean, he puts out a lot of pablum on this. He talks about how we're so transparent. You know, we were transparent before Wisconsin I came around, and we're transparent now. And meanwhile, this function is not working for the people of the state. There's this big hole in our democracy that is created by legislative inaction. So I don't know. I think the most sinister interpretation, which a lot of people embrace, is that they don't like the cameras on them. They don't like it being recorded so someone can hear after the fact the stupid things they say. I always push back against that, because as a reporter, I've had an inside look at many of these committee hearings. Almost always, I come away impressed by the quality of the questions, the integrity of the process, the fact that people are, you know, making the government open to outside input and then receiving it and commenting on it and incorporating it into legislation. I think the more the legislature allows a light to be shined on itself, the better it looks. So this whole thing strikes me as counterproductive. It's shooting itself in the foot to shut down this function, because people assume that they don't want it to be seen because they're up to no good.
Well, we've got a little Robin Voss audio. Maybe we'll play that right now, and I'll get your quick reaction to it. It's along the lines you were talking about. Dom, do we have that available?
This idea that if some activist is not allowed to record people, that that's not transparent. We've got plenty of transparency. It's over here today.
That's exactly what I remember him saying. We've got plenty of transparency. And he refers to the problem as being some activist who wants to record. Well, it's not just activists who want to be able to hear and see what their government is doing. It's ordinary people. It's other legislators. It's representatives of associations. It's people like me who represent the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council, which aims to promote government access to meetings and records. We all have a stake in this, not activists. He tries to throw some shade on the motivations of the people who want to see their government in action. And I think it's kind of offensive that he would do that.
And right now, what's prevailing are these legislative rules passed years ago that deny citizens the right to record.
Yes.
And this is personal for me, because I was arrested in the Capitol during the Walker protests because people were being arrested for holding signs in the gallery, which I thought was stupid. So I went up there. and took a picture of someone who was being arrested for holding a sign, and I was arrested for taking a picture of the person holding a sign. So there's all sorts of infringements on our basic freedom of assembly and freedom of petition that's in our First Amendment and in our Wisconsin Constitution, seems to me, and has seemed to me for a long time. So I don't know how those rules have passed muster, and what's your perspective on that from Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council?
Yeah, well, this is the second prong of this, which is also in some ways more disturbing even than the first prong, which is that Wisconsin I isn't functioning. The state's open meetings law expressly states that governmental bodies, quote, shall make a reasonable effort to accommodate any person desiring to record, film, or photograph a meeting. Another part of the open meetings law expressly states that the assembly and the Senate are subject to the provisions of the open meetings law. And then there's another statute that says that any rule that is promulgated by the Senate or the assembly as a whole trumps the open meetings law. So they have the ability to pass a rule that will take away the obligation that they have to allow people to record. And both the Senate and the assembly have done that in the last decade and a half, two decades. They've passed rules that say you can't record from the gallery, the assembly rule, or you can't, unless you're a member of the news media, you can't film or record a public meeting. These rules have been largely unenforced historically, but now they are being enforced. Now, at the precise time that the ability of citizens to record the meetings, because that's the only way to get, you know, a record of what happened, is threatened by the closing of Wisconsin I. Now is when they decide, well, you can't film it, you can't record it yourself.
So are they actually booting people out?
Yes, they've been booting people out. They've been telling people they can't take pictures. There was a legislative aide who was at one of these meetings who wanted to take a picture of his boss, the legislator, testifying at a meeting. He put in a newsletter or whatever, you know, here I am at work for you, and was prohibited from doing so. He's not a member of the media. He's not credentialed as a media member. You're not allowed to do this. It's just ridiculous.
And going back to your prior comment about the legislature's able to pass rules that trump our state laws on open records, that doesn't seem like that should pass muster if it gets up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I mean, is there a challenge pending on this?
No, well, actually, it's not that all unusual that the legislature will carve out different rules for itself. And I don't think it's really challenged as a matter of law that no one is saying you can't do that. I would say you shouldn't do that. But we have other precedents, like legislative caucuses are allowed to meet in private. All of the Democrats and all of the Republicans can mix with, can talk to each other in a closed session. They have that right. There's an exemption from the retention rules that are in place for every other state and local government official. If you're the street superintendent of the city of Appleton and someone sends you a letter about a cracked sidewalk, you have to keep that for 7 years. But if you're a member of the legislature, you're exempt from the retention rule that would otherwise apply, which means you can get a email from a lobbyist saying, hey, you do this for me and I'll do this for you. And you can erase it after you read it. You can just destroy it. And that's perfectly legal.
Well, to my mind, it shouldn't be perfectly legal. And it's why, one of the reasons why people are so cynical about politicians, because they get in power and they decide that the rules don't apply to them and that they're above it all. I mean,
right.
It's a little different, the caucuses, when they're planning strategy. I mean, I can almost see a reason for not allowing cameras in there, though I'd like to see them in there. But this idea
that the Democrats have on occasion opened up their caucus to outside viewing. It's not, you know, each and every meeting, but they have allowed it in some circumstances.
So tell me what the Freedom of Information Council is trying to do about this current double whammy.
Mainly, I've been doing things like this. As I was waiting to come on the air here, I got a email from a reporter who wants to talk to me, you know, later today about this. I've somehow become the patron saint of Wisconsin I, which is fine. I think it's a great service. I think it's important. I think it's a shame that it's being shuttered, and I think it's an even greater shame that members of the legislature are acting affirmatively to prevent the public from seeing what's happening at the meetings that it is financing and supporting, involving the people that it has elected.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm the patron saint of lost causes, so you got a better title than I do. What do you want citizens to do? Anyone who's listening to this podcast here in Wisconsin who thinks it's outrageous that you can't go into the state capitol and record what the legislators are doing?
Well, you know, the old recommendation is contact your legislator. Let them know that you're disappointed that you can't see at Wisconsin Eye, and what are you doing about it? Tell me. That would be even a handful of communications along those lines makes an impact on the legislator. It might be somebody who's sitting on the fence who didn't regard it as a priority. Here's from a constituent that says, I used to use this, I miss this. What are you doing to bring it back? That can have a lot of power. What I hope also happens is that there is a constitutional challenge to the rules that are promulgated that say you can't record this, because it's open to some. If you're a credentialed member of the news media, you can see it. It's not open to another. You're just an ordinary citizen. You can't. That's a real First Amendment problem. You could sue over that and very possibly prevail. You could say you can't draw that kind of distinction. You can't say media has this right, other people don't. That's a violation of the equal protection or whatever that is presumed to be part of the application of the First Amendment.
So are you looking for a plaintiff here?
Yeah, why don't you go do it? Go walk over to the legislator right now and just see if you can get away with taking the cell phone video.
See if I can get arrested a third time in the state capitol. So the second time was when I was just filming someone who was being arrested. One of the raging grannies was being arrested, and I was filming that, and they arrested me for that.
Oh, my goodness.
In those good old days of Scott Walker. Bill, while I have you here, you are a student of democracy, and our democracy is so under siege right now. I'm just wondering how you're processing what you're seeing here writ large with the Trump administration.
Seeing here in Wisconsin?
Or seeing, just watching the news unfold.
Across the nation?
Yeah, looking at Minnesota or anything.
It's truly frightening. I read in the paper this morning, in the Cap Times this morning, that the governor says they're preparing for it to come here. At some point, it will come to Wisconsin. We will see Madison. We will see Milwaukee. We will see other major urban centers that are not, you know, fully on board the president's agenda, be invaded by federal troops and agents. And, you know, it's horrifying that this is happening. You know, I think people saw all along that this was a possibility in a second Trump term, but the fact that it's actually here is still bracing. It still should be sending shockwaves through every person in this country, and there has to be a concerted response. There has to be a principled opposition. There has to be a way to shut it down, and people have to stop using the F word when they're making arguments over what people need to do.
The F word being the foul word or the fascism word?
Well, not the fascism word, the other one.
Okay. I know there's been a lot of talk here. I've been speaking with David Cooper, the former Madison police chief and reverend then for a couple decades.
There's
as
a piece
well.
From David in the issue of the Progressive that's about to come out in a week or two.
Oh, that's great. And what does it say?
About policing at this time and age.
Okay. And what is his advice?
To be aware of the abuses that are happening in police departments and through law enforcement, how law enforcement is being used in ways that is not appropriate.
And do you have hope that we're going to get through this okay as a democracy?
Yes, I have hope. Do I have assurance? No, but I think there are a large number of people who are alarmed. And I think there is a strong core of opposition that is emerging. And you have to be optimistic that that can make a difference. I do think there are some lines that will be crossed that have never been crossed and are being crossed now that have never been crossed before, which is scary. I think there are some lines that people aren't going to cross. And if they do, there's going to be backlash more than what they expected. I've said for a while, and I'll say it now, although I'm putting myself out there to say it, I don't think that Donald Trump is going to finish his term. I don't think he's going to survive his own craziness. I think, as strange as it sounds to say, I think he's going to go too far. I think there's going to be something, and it may be really horrible. It may be when troops are shooting down people in the streets across the country, but he's going to go too far. He's headed toward too far. And when he gets there, it'll be quite the moment of reckoning.
I think Colonel Sanders and his diet are going to get to him, but who knows? Bill Leaders, thanks so much for being my guest today on the Wisconsin Forward podcast.
Sure, Matt.
It's great to see you and great talking with you. Well, that's going to have to be it for this episode of the Wisconsin Forward podcast on the Civic Media Radio Network at civicmedia.us. I'm Matt Rothschild, and I want to thank Bill Leaders again for being my guest. I also want to thank my engineer and producer, Dom Lee, who's always great to work with. And I want to thank Sage Weil of Civic Media for giving me this platform. But most of all, I want to thank you for listening. I'll be back soon with another episode of the Wisconsin Forward podcast, where I'll be interviewing Mandela Barnes. You'll want to keep a lookout for that one.